Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Russ M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Norristown, PA. Today is Friday, June 6, 2025. This is a 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And we're reading from the Big Book today and working with others. That page 102, that first paragraph, starting with, why sit with the long face? Ending with, because your friends drink liquor. And then we're going to just share on that paragraph. All right, our readers. So for the 12 steps, we have Tenzin P, the 12 traditions, Sarah M, reading the Texas, Trisha D, page 164 is Elena C. Backup readers, Katie G, newcomer greeter is Tony B, second hour host, Eileen M, and Kathy S is going to take care of announcements. So yesterday's share IDs, Thursday, June 5th, 2025, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,499. The 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,500. All right, the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, and religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating, compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and a practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Now, I've asked Tenzin P to share the 12 steps.
Thank you very much. Tenzin P checking in from New York. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tenzin. Next up is Sarah M. with the traditions.
Hi, this is Sarah M. from Florida, recovered by God's grace. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service.
Thanks, Sarah. Appreciate it. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 on mute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today we're back in Chapter 7, working with others. Page 102, the first paragraph, starting with why sit with a long face, and it ends with because your friends drink liquor. And we're going to share on that. Trisha D is going to read that. I'm sorry about that. And then she's going to share one. All right, Trisha, you're up.
Good morning, Russ. This is Trisha D from Georgia, and gratefully, one day at a time, recovered. And this is page 102, first paragraph. Why sit with a long face in places where there is drinking, sighing about the good old days? If it is a happy occasion, try to increase the pleasure of those there. If a business occasion, go and attend to your business enthusiastically. If you are with a person who wants to eat in a bar, by all means, go along. Let your friends know they are not to change their habits on your account. At a proper time and place, explain to all your friends why alcohol disagrees with you. If you do this thoroughly, few people will ask you to drink. While you are drinking, you are withdrawing from life little by little. Now you are getting back into the social life of this world. Don't start to withdraw again just because your friends drink liquor. Thank you, Rush, for letting me share today. Don't start to withdraw again just because your friends eat sugar. This is what this paragraph is saying to me. And when as I read this, I glanced back at that first sentence, and it says, sighing about the good old days. Well, as I reflected on this, I said, the good old days? What, were they really that good? You know, the early days of my program, and especially with my family, I dealt with people-pleasing. You know, I would just lack courage. I dealt with this image. I didn't want to rock the boat. I didn't want to impose on others. You know, I was thinking, oh, I'm not enough. and I will just go along with what everyone's doing. And that was in those early days when I was still trying to just fight my own ego within me that, yes, I need to stand up for myself. And it was so hard sometimes and frequently. And as I went through the steps, I gained more and more courage. And today, you know, again, with faith and my higher power, I'm enjoying life so much more. I'm learning to respect myself, love myself. I can go out to eat anywhere I want. And that's because, and it's what is the big book in this chapter constantly is reminding us, is we must have this vital spiritual experience and be spiritually fit. You know, I need to surrender daily to my, that I am not in control. You know, the big book in the back of the appendix, too, talks about willingness and honesty and open-mindedness. You know, I have to be willing to stand up for me, be willing to be honest at all costs. And my family has come so far, and my friends, when I can now, without a shadow of a doubt, say, you know what, thank you so much for, you know, that I can be around sugar, and I have grandchildren, and I know that those things are poison for me. And I can share without a shadow of a doubt, with strong confidence and assurance that, and thank you, but I can't have that. You know, I do have an allergy. And when I have to kind of test the waters and see, you know, is this the time to share how deeply, how much? But the biggest witness of all is just my actions. That's actions always speak louder than words. And so when I'm out, I remember I was at a family reunion, and I sat down with my food that I knew I could eat. And my brother-in-law, who's a doctor, said, wow, we all should take note on how Tricia eats. And I never said a word. And then another time I was out to eat with my family, and this was a good reminder that I am a compulsive overeater. We were sitting at a restaurant, and I was eating my abstinent food, and I look across the way, and I see two women eating, and she's got this luscious dessert in front of her. Thank you. And she didn't eat it, and I was ready to jump across the table to say, I can't believe you're not finishing that, but I didn't. So thank you for letting me share. This is an awesome program, and it's because of it. I have just feel I'm becoming the woman that God wants me to be. Thank you, Russ, for letting me share. Have a wonderful day. Thank you, and I pass.
All right, thanks, Tricia. Appreciate it. Now we're going to open up the lines for Sharon. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day. So please, if you share it on Wednesday or Thursday, step back and I'll just get a shot to share. And
Harlan G.
What? Okay, 80. We're going to go. I need your first name, first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from. Harlan.
Harlan G.
Harlan. G.
Shani B.
Melissa.
Melissa G.
I think I got Melissa C.
Rachel K. Did you get me, Russ? Katie G.
Yep, I got you.
Thank you.
Bonnie B.
Rachel K. Bonnie B.
Shanna C.
Shanna. Okay, let me spell these things right. All right, we can maybe take two more if you like. I know I missed somebody. I had to miss somebody.
Olivia K.
Okay. Yep, Olivia. Olivia K. All right, let's go with that. Harlan G., Katie G., Melissa C. Who? All right, Roy. Yep. We got an even nine. Okay, thank you. Harlan, Katie, Melissa, Rachel, Bonnie, Shanna, Olivia, and Roy. All right, H, you're up, buddy.
Thank you, Russ. Thank you for your service today. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. When I was a little boy, most of the friends of my father came out of the concentration camps. Not all of them, but most of them. And whether they knew each other or not, they sent me a very clear signal that I wish I could listen to better than I am. And the signal that they sent me was, live until you die. Live until you die. This week, I lost my surrogate mom. 93 years old. She was in many, many ways as much a mother to me as my own mother. And I learned a lot from her, and I will miss her the rest of my days. She was the perfect example of wringing every drop of life out of every day she was given. This paragraph may seem on the surface like it's about eat or don't eat. But what I learned along the way is this program is not about sitting in a room and making outreach calls and doing 10 steps until I'm dead. It's not about that. It's not about anything except using OA as a way of getting a spiritual awakening as a result of the steps, so I could then live my life while bringing this with me as its main focal point. Yes, no question, but I must live my life. I must go out and live my life. Because to sit here and not eat, to sit here and not eat is not fulfilling God's destiny for me. Now, I'm not giving out as a get-out-of-jail-free card to go out and eat Rice Krispie treats and pizza. I'm not saying that. I include death by food, death by Dorito. But life for me must include people. It must include adventures. It must include romance. It must include friends. It must include life on life's terms. I was never fashioned by God to sit in a room and not eat. I must accept God as my higher power, and God gave me a present, the present moment, and it's a gift, and I'm going to go out and live it. I'm going to go out now, and I'm going to walk. And later on, I'm going to be with friends, and I'm going to work this morning, but I'm going to be with friends later, and I'm going to live my life today. Because live until you die is an instruction, and I'm going to take it to the best of my ability, and I'm going to use it to maximize every day, and I hope you will too. Thanks, Russ, for your time. Have a great one. Yep. Bye.
Thanks, H. Sorry for your loss. Next up is Katie G, followed by Melissa C.
Good morning, Russ. Thanks for your service.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is Katie G. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive eater in Boston. There's a lot here. I never sigh about the good old days, starving myself and binging compulsively. That was never good for me. I'll tell you, social occasions are scary for me. I really loved COVID. I really loved not having to deal with humans besides my own. But today, God has gifted me with a social life. And it isn't about where I want to be. It's about where does God want me to be. So I know I have a loud mouth, but I'm actually really scared. I get tremendous fear, and I walk through the fear, thanks be to God. My job is to fit myself to be of maximum service to God and to those around me, to remember food isn't my problem. And most importantly, like other people, my dad in particular, I've had to say to him, don't like not have dessert because of me. If you have to not have dessert because of me, then there's something wrong with me. And to be honest, you know, going out into the social world, no one really cares about what I eat. Nobody really, and if they do, if they make snarky comments and I'm offended, that's my problem. Because if I really surrender to step one, right, like I have no power, no choice, and no control around my anorexia, around my controlling, around my exercise bulimia, if that is true, then it's black and white that I don't eat no matter what. It's black and white that I don't over-exercise and not go to doctor's appointments. Because that's what I want to do. I want to cancel doctor's appointments to make sure I exercise, right, and not live on the firing lines with God and those around me. But if I'm really practicing faith in God, Then I am skipping exercise to go to the doctors. Then I am going out socially with my family. I am going out socially with my parents. I am going out into the firing lines of life. And I'll just add, I really struggle with this all or nothing. I joined a church and I was like all in, and I burned bridges and I had to withdraw again because I didn't know how to be socially. And thanks be to God, because of this step work, I've gone back. I have a church life. I have friends of my kids. There's a social life that God wants me to be. And with God, all things are possible. Hot fudge sundaes, you know, anorexic people that I want to be. None of those people, none of those things matter. What matters is, how am I living my life today? And am I doing what God wants me to do and be? And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Katie. Next up is Melissa C., followed by Melissa G.
Hey, good morning, Russ. Thanks so much for your service this morning. I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, you know, I love the directions in the book, like, tell me over and over and over again that I'm supposed to be happy, that I'm not supposed to waste my life in misery. And, you know, I think about those good old days, those sighing about those good old days. You know, part of my, like, first step experience was the utter realization that food was not social for me. Like, that is the lie that the food would tell me, my disease would tell me to, you know, get me to take the first bite. But food was the most, you know, eating socially was probably the most antisocial thing I did. Because once I would start eating, I couldn't even hear the people around me. It was like all I heard was the food, you know, whispering in my ear, like, I think you could get some more without anybody realizing it, or did you eat so much and now you've made a, you know, a spectacle of yourself. So I don't have good old days to sigh about with food. But I do have joy. I have happiness and joy, and I go anywhere, and I'm an extremely social person. And, you know, the people in my life, I'm so grateful. You know, I've had friends for my whole life, and this disease, you know, robbed me of being with them because I, you know, like someone said, you know, I called in fat all the time. I would withdraw from things and not show up, because I was so preoccupied with my body, my weight, or had eaten too much. And I don't live that way anymore. So I am free to enjoy my social life. And my friends around me, they know what I eat and what I don't eat. And I'm really blessed because I do have friends who will say to me, look, you might need to bring something because I'm not, you know, I'm not going to serve anything. And I am so cool with that. I don't care. You know, I really don't care. And or other times I show up and my friend will point and say, you know, this is okay for you. You know, they know what I eat and don't eat, which is great. And my family the same way. But what I eat is the least interesting thing about what I bring to the occasion. What I bring to the occasion is joy. And I really, you know, if I can't show up with a spirit of increasing the pleasure, then what the hell am I doing there? You know, that's kind of how I look at it. And I've got, you know, a friend's wedding coming up. I'll tell you, I didn't ask her what she's serving. I will take care of myself. I will have my backup, but I'm going to be the first one on the dance floor because that's how you increase the pleasure at a wedding. And how can I sell this message of recovery if I sit there looking pouty and sorry for myself? I'm not sorry for myself. I am relieved. I am grateful to God that relieved me of the bondage of food, that relieved me of the bondage of self-obsession, and I can show up with love and joy today. Thanks. With that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Melissa. Next up is Melissa G., and then followed by Rachel K.
Hey, thank you. This is Melissa G. from Michigan. Yeah, so reading this passage today, I think the correct term is like it feels very serendipitous, which I don't know if I'm just trying to be smart or if that's actually the phrase that I want to say. But, you know, I'm going into work today and we're celebrating one of my very favorite coworkers. It's her last day. She got a different position. And of course, we're doing like a big potluck, because what do? You celebrate with food when you can't drink. But so I, you know, in my head at first, I'm like, okay, well, maybe I could schedule home visits so I'm not at the office at that time, or maybe I could, you know, whatever, come up with 101 excuses of why I had to work from home instead of at the office today. But then, you know, it's you people on the line that continue to tell me, no, you show up and you be joyful. Like, this is a woman who I love, and I'm going to miss seeing her face every single day. And for me not to show up would be not only, like, unfair to her, but it is unfair to me, because I can't hide away from life. So, in my head, you know, I decided I am bringing like something for the potluck that I cannot eat. And then I was like, well, I'll just eat whatever. I'll figure out. I'm sure there's going to be abstinent food. But then I heard the voices on the line, the voices of my sponsor that says, well, that's silly, Melissa. So I plan to bring my own lunch today and just be there to celebrate my friend. And I can tell you, you know, similar to what the shares before would have said, if she would have left a year ago when I was, you know, elbows deep in whatever I was binging on, I wouldn't have shown up regardless. I might have been there in body, but my spirit and my soul and my mind and the love that I have for this woman would not have been there, because the only thing I would have been able to see is what I needed, what my own misery was, and you know, me. And I'm grateful for that this program continually reminds me that, you know, putting the food down was only the first step, right? Like, it was only the first thing I had to do. But everything that follows after is such a gift and so much better. It takes work. And I know sometimes I'm not great at some things, but what I am great is I know that as long as every day I continue to surrender to higher power and ask them for the support and the guidance for me to be who they want me to be, not who Melissa wants me to be, but who they really want me to be, then I know that at least I have a shot to have this life that everybody is always like talking about. And for that, I'm really grateful. So thank you for everyone on the line, and thank you for monitoring the meeting, Russ. Have a good day.
All right. Thanks, Melissa. Before Rachel K. jumps on here, let me let you know where we're at if you came to the meeting a little later. We're Chapter 7, Working with Others, that first paragraph, Why Sit with the Long Face, ending with, Because Your Friends Drink Liquor. All right, Rachel K.'s up.
Thank you, Russ. Hi, my name is Rachel K. I'm a compulsive overeater from Indiana, and gosh, what great shares this morning. And the thing, like, it is only by the grace of God that I have friends and I have a social life today. I mean, that is not me. In my natural state, you have to, like, pry me off my couch with a spatula to get me to leave my apartment. That is my normal MO. But my life isn't like that today. I have friends. You know, I have a relationship, you know, a romantic relationship. I have a community, not just within OA, but without, you know, outside of OA, which is a miracle, an absolute miracle. And I love what it says about increasing the joy of others. You know, that I found was so key to me, was rather than going to a party or an occasion and thinking, what do they think of me? How do I look? What do they think of what I'm wearing? What do they think of how I'm eating or not eating? Is what can I do to be of service here? How can I increase the pleasure of others? And I will tell you a story of several years ago, but this is in abstinence. And I was with my family, and one of my nephews, he was very young at the time. I think he was probably about 4 years old, eating and enjoying and loving a chocolate ice cream cone. And he turned to me, and he wanted to give me a kiss, and he had chocolate ice cream, like, all over his face. And it was a moment of, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, what am I going to do? Like, I can't, like, not kiss this little boy who's, like, puckering up to give me a kiss. So I leaned down, I puckered up. I closed my mouth very tight, gave him a kiss, and then when he wasn't looking, I wiped my mouth off with a Kleenex and then went to a water fountain and made sure I washed off my mouth. And it was fine. That, my friend, is a miracle that I could have poison basically like on my mouth, not lick my lips, but not, you know, on one hand, not lick my lips, you know, not use it as an excuse to, well, it's just a little bit of ice cream, you know, not partake of it, but also to kiss my little nephew, you know, I mean, I believe that's God's will for me, to be in life, to participate, you know, in that little boy's life, in my friend's life, to increase their pleasure, not to be thinking, oh my gosh, what do I look like? Do I, you know, is my hair okay? Am I looking okay? Why is nobody talking to me? You know, why don't I go and talk to them? Why don't I go and talk to somebody who looks like they're uncomfortable and maybe try to make them more comfortable? So anyway, I hope everybody has a good weekend, and I'll pass.
All right. Thank you, Rachel. Next up is Bonnie B, followed by Shanna C.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Thanks, Russ, for your service, and the shares have been over the top as usual. Bonnie B, recovered by the grace of God, living in the state of Minnesota today. Do I have stories about early on in recovery, what I did? Golly, I think back, it was just crazy. Sadness, to be honest, because I did not go to functions with the idea being, how can I be of service to other people? I went to functions because I knew I had to, and I was terrified. And all roads led back to, what about me? Which is just so sort of hilarious on the hindsight now. Maybe not so much on like what I look like, but what am I going to eat, and what are they going to think? And that thing still like rears its ugly head. 3 or 4 weeks ago before we left Florida, we met with Bill's boss in Naples, and they took us out to this fancy restaurant, which I'm not really a fancy kind of gal. And I'm telling you, I did 10 steps. I did fear inventory, to be honest, 3 or 4 before, because all I could think about was, even though I looked at the restaurant menu, like, what are they going to think if I ask the waiter to, like, please bring the salmon with nothing on it, and could you please? I mean, I was just all about me. And when I got to the restaurant, and I had prayed before, the focus was, how can I be of service to my husband, because it was important that I went, and then be of service to this other couple by not focusing on me. And so I did order my abstinent food, not a big deal. And then the funniest part is that, you know, the boss's wife ordered her meal, and she probably asked 15 questions about her meal, and she wasn't one of me. She just wanted to know what she was getting, and she wanted to know that she liked what she was getting. So all roads always end up back at me, and if I'm not careful. And when I go to functions now, and I am so delighted that I can, last weekend I went to visit and celebrate the 5th birthday of one of our grandchildren. We bring the ice cream there. We bring the Dairy Queen ice cream cake, and it doesn't have an effect on me. We're known for bringing that, and I get to go, and I get to be a grandma. I get to play on the trampoline with the kids. I get to engage with everyone, and I get to be part of this thing God has blessed me with, which is life today. And yes, I do live in a body that's different than it used to be, but I'm no longer focused on that body. I'm focused on God. What would you have me to be today? And how do I interact with the people that you've gifted me with today? I am blessed beyond my wildest dreams. I cannot imagine a different life. But I do realize now that even the thoughts early on about how do I make this thing work, were still lack of trusting God and what about me. So thanks so much, everyone, and blessings to you all.
Thanks, Bonnie. Next up is Shanna C, followed by Olivia K.
Good morning. This is Shanna C., Grateful Recovered Compulsive Eater from Tennessee. So grateful to be on the line this morning and living in a recovered state, and just being reminded that over and over in so many different ways and so many people's, you know, own language and own point of view, how they get to live life. And, you know, it's encouraging, you know, because, you know, we, you know, as compulsive eaters, you know, we don't have to be brand new to be suffering at times. You know, our primary purpose is to carry the message of hope to the compulsive eater who still suffers.
You know, you can be abstinent and in the middle of the bed of OA and still be suffering at times. And thank God for this spiritual program that reminds us that we're never alone and that we have a way out upon which we can absolutely agree. My problem, you know, as we've talked about, especially up until this point, is self. And, you know, for me to be able to fully participate, I have to be connected to a power greater than me. I don't need more food. I don't need a better plan. I don't need this. I don't need that. I need relief from the bondage of self. And the only way I can do that is conscious contact with the God of my understanding. And for me, what that looks like today is actively living in steps 10, 11, and 12. And what does that look like? It means when I go out to a restaurant with my husband, who is loves restaurants, loves them. I mean, I'm just like, I'm the kind, I want to sit at home all day, weigh and measure all my food, prepackage everything, have it all perfect, and be able to grab it as soon as I feel the first pinch of hunger. And I'm good. Thank you very much. What do you got for me? You know, this kind of, that's left to my own devices. I'm the one that's compulsively weighing my banana on the hood of my car because I'm too scared of getting it wrong, you know, because I can take this thing from one extreme to the other. And people, my husband looking at me like, what the hell's wrong with you? You know, that is weird. So anyway, just grateful that in 10, 11, and 12, I can go out to that restaurant, whatever social occasion, and I can rely on God. And it feels like sometimes I have a microphone in my ear and I'm talking to God. We constantly, thoughts of others and how I may help meet their needs. It's a practice. And sometimes it feels I'm disconnecting from the people, but I find that when I'm talking to God while I'm with these people, I'm asking God what to do to remove my fear and selfishness. How can I help this person? I'm actually listening to them better. It's the wildest thing. It feels like I'm tuning out, but when I'm connecting to God, I'm connecting to others around me a lot better because I'm being relieved of the bondage of self. Daily reprieve. Anyway, that's all I have this morning, and happy Friday, and I hope everyone has a fantastic day. Love you all.
Thanks, Shanna. Appreciate it. Next up is Olivia K., followed by Roy C.
Hi, good morning, everybody. This is Olivia Kay. I'm from Illinois, and thanks so much, Russ, for your service. And yes, the leads have been and the shares have been amazing. And I'm living this today. I am on vacation with my two adult daughters, and I just wanted to kind of, you know, claim my seat, but also share gratitude for all of you for being such great teachers. And for kind of giving me and answering the nudge to go on vacation with my daughters alone. They were 7 and 10 when I got into OA in the beginning, and they're 29 and 25 now. And in fact, one is celebrating a birthday today. So this is a bit of a living amends for me, and it is an answer to a nudge by my God and or higher power to spend time and to build the relationship with them. And I have to say, yesterday, you know, it was about a 7-hour drive. It was a little tricky at parts. We stopped at places along the way, and they eat totally differently than I do. And at some points it was a little tough, and I kept thinking, in fact, saying, you know, prayers. And one thing is that, you know, I still have some fear around them and their health. And another is just, you know, being in a closed car with the food. And I was doing my inventory last night, and I realized, you know, there's something in me that needs to be released, you know, and thankfully I'll be talking to my sponsor this morning. And that's what I've learned to do when I travel, is that I still go to meetings, I still talk to my sponsor, and I need that. You know, I need the program. I can't take a vacation from program. And I want to just say one more time how much I appreciate all of you on this line that have taught me how to live life, how to have joy. I'm looking out in this beautiful, it's kind of like, it's not really a cabin. It's really beautiful. It's a lake and forest. And I mean, it's just gorgeous. We're going to go kayaking today. And I think, you know, this is what I want. This is what God has given me. And it's been a long road, though. It's been a long road. And I just think of all of the people that have helped. In fact, several people that have that shared today, I believe I've talked to, you know, briefly at one point or the other, out of desperation, and just really appreciate the guidance. And so I thank you. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Thanks, Olivia. You too. Next up is Roy C., and then we got a great announcement.
This is Roy C. from Southern New Jersey. Good morning, Russ. Thanks for taking the program today. And serendipitous is one of my favorite words. I had a serendipitous opportunity Wednesday evening at a local library. I have the privilege of leading a ukulele group that plays music together, and there were about 10 people in the room. And a speaker in the room next door had leftover treats from her program. It was a dozen of donuts, and they were delicious looking. And she offered them to our group halfway through. And it's something that is certainly a red light food for me. And I could have said, no, we can't have that. I can't have that. But that isn't the thing to do. I graciously accepted the treats, and the group of players there enjoyed the treats, and they had a good time. And I only had to explain to one person nearby me why I wasn't having one. And it wasn't a big thing to deny the group something like that. Would have been selfish on my part. And I felt so much better after that was done and everybody enjoyed their treat. And I was abstinent for one more minute, one more moment in time. And we'll keep doing that and, you know, see what tomorrow brings. Thanks again for being here, and thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Roy. Appreciate it. So before we get the next group, where are you going to be in 154 days? Guess what's coming up? 2025 Power to Big Book Weekend, our Vision for You convention. And it's going to be on November 7th, Friday, to Sunday, the 9th. And it's a great time. Meetings, a lot of fellowship. You get to meet people that you talk to every day on the line. It's just a great time with everybody being together and a ton of recovery and such good speakers. You got to be there. You got to be there. So how do you find out? How do we register, right? You got to go to avisionforyou.info, right? www.avision4yu.info, and then you hit you'll see the countdowns on the landing page. You hit, I believe it's more info, and it will show you everything that you need. Click that more info, and you'll have all the pertinent info to get registered. It's going to be a great time. We'll be chilling with the family. It's going to be great. All right, that's enough. So for those who want to share, please, if you shared in the past couple of days, please step back. We have time for probably four shares. Who would like
Jennifer
to
share? Jennifer C.
Okay.
Joelle B., Illinois.
Okay. All right. Hold on.
Kelly R.
I got Jennifer C. That's Jennifer C. I got Larry
J. Anita
J. Okay.
Did you get me?
Yeah, I got you. I got Larry K, Anita. Larry G, Anita J. I think that's going to be it. If we have time, I will definitely take more. Sorry about that. I can only grab you.
Excuse me. Where is the Big Book Convention going to be, though?
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. It's Newark, New Jersey. I'm sorry. Thank you for wising me up here.
Thank you.
Let me click more info. I forgot to say it. I'm sorry. Newark Liberty International Marriott. And there's also a block rate for us guys for Friday and Saturday night. So just mention that. Sorry about that. Thank you for the advisement. All right, I got Jennifer C., Larry K., Larry G., and Anita J. Jennifer C., you're up.
Hey, good morning, Russ. Thanks for your service. Good morning, all my brothers and sisters. You're my people. It's so awesome to be on a line every day with people who understand this disease and they understand the solution. Food is not easy. Getting abstinent, staying abstinent in the beginning might be one of the hardest things that we ever do. It's not the same as other drugs. You got to eat every single day and it's everywhere. But here's the beautiful thing. You know, if I'm on step one, this paragraph seems so far-fetched. You know, I'm still at that place where I got to go to any lengths just to not eat. You know, the people around me, like while they're eating, I'm filled with resentment, right? Like I'm saying goodbye to my BFF. I remember writing a goodbye letter to peanut butter. That's where I was at. I had to like mourn the loss of peanut butter in my life. Sounds nuts. But that's where I was when I was on step one. And it was hard to be on vacations. And I had to make, you know, 3, 6, 9 calls to put my head on the pillow and be abstinent. And that's where I was at, you know. But something happens through this process, you know. And I think about page 63 that says, when I sincerely take such a position, what position? Where I give my life to God, where I know who's got my back. I offer myself to God. I say, God, I offer myself to you to do with me whatever you want to do. I turn my attention away from the food and towards using the members of my body, my hands, my feet, my heart, my mind to do God's will, right? And then it says, when I really take that position, when I really, really take that position, all sorts of remarkable things happen. And part of the promise is that I become less and less concerned with myself. I become more and more interested in how I can contribute to life, right? Which corresponds with increasing the pleasure of those around me. It's a byproduct because I am focusing on something in the complete opposite direction of how I can feed self. What happens is I can still live on page 61, right, where I'm still trying to manage the show. I'm being super nice, but it's still about me. Look how nice I'm being. Oh, I took you out for ice cream. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I didn't get ice cream. But here I am being nice to everybody, right? I can still be in the bondage of self the whole freaking time, and I can be miserable and I can be filled with resentment, but hey, I'm abstinent, right? I don't want to live like that today. I got one option. Give my all to God. Let God fill me with this remarkable power that makes it easy to be abstinent. I don't want the food today. I don't need the food today because I have another solution. I have a sufficient substitute. What is that sufficient substitute? God's power, God's love, and God's way of life. And I give my all to that. And that's the only thing that hits the spot. Otherwise, I'm still on 61. I'm still being demanding. I'm still trying to run the show. And I'm a dry drunk, and I don't want to live like that today because I'm closer and closer to the food. So thank you all for being here with me this morning. I love you all. With that, I pass.
All right. Thanks, Jennifer. Next up is Larry K., followed by Larry G.
Hey, Russ. Good morning. Larry K., recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. Don't sit with a long face, Russ. Okay, we're going to. You know, for me, I cannot have a true relationship with the higher power that isn't conjoined with God's children, right? So, you know, this sentiment, I think, ties into this paragraph. It expresses a deeply rooted belief that I have that, you know, where there's a relationship with a higher power, it's going to be inseparable from a relationship with humanity. So it does suggest a belief system where the divine is connected to a collective experience. That's why we're on the line with each other. I'm not on the line with God this morning, just with God. God is there as a foundation. I'm on the line with you. I love it. That's what this program, it's the essence of this program. It's a collective experience. And if I have a spiritual awakening, which is the purpose of the implementation of the steps, I will be conjoined with other people in a beautiful way. There will be interconnectedness. I won't sit with a long face. I'll look to increase your happiness and joy. The language implies interconnectedness. The divine connected is not separate from, but rather intertwined with the well-being of you guys. And then you extend it to me. Thank you for that. The shared humanity, it's filled with compassion and love. This sentiment of compassion and love reflects the desire for a relationship with a higher power that's compassionate, loving, never unkind. It extends beyond our individual experiences with God. We do this together. We reject isolation. It's a heartfelt statement of faith. Shared human experience. So, and it's an opportunity that I have to demonstrate this divine connectedness, whether I don't care, 10-step practices, training, beautiful, emotional support from your fellows, wonderful, it's a part of it. Do you think a jealous God frowns upon that? Sort of penalizing you from a spiritual awakening if you are attending to his children? Of course not. Of course not. Not a chance. With that, I pass. Thanks so much, Russ.
Perfect time there, Larry. All right. So now, Larry G. and Anita J., if you each take two, we could bang this out.
Larry G. from California. Oh, God, right. Great meeting. A lot of great shares. Yeah, I woke up this morning. I'm just joyful anticipation of my day. I got up around 3 o'clock and did my prayer in the morning, meditation, and I get on the phone and I have this this movie in review. I don't know how to do these things. It just pops up. And I play this movie in review of 2024. And in this movie, I'm the central character. And my granddaughter, my grandson are with me, my wife, my two daughters, and we're at ball games and the park and hiking and swimming. And there's this guy who I don't even recognize as me. I'm laughing, I'm smiling, I'm full of joy. I'm off the sidelines and it's really this movie, this video is really a testimony to God because, in 2019, I didn't keep some of those pictures. You know, the pictures of me were on the couch, passed out in a food coma, or grazing around a buffet table, and I would have my sunglasses on because my eyes were bloodshot, and I just get out of my way. Just get out of my way. I want to eat it. If I didn't get enough food on the way home, I would take care of that. But today, I just got this joyful anticipation of today. I'm going to work out. I've done my prayer and meditation. I'm on this meeting. I get to go see my son. We're going to laugh our asses off for 2 hours. I'm going to come back. I've got two sponsees to work with. And it's turning hot here in Sacramento, so I'm going out to this adventure shop, and I'm going to pick up a stand-up paddleboard for the summer and be on the lake in a swimming suit. I mean, how does this happen to a guy who is over and just, you know, all he could do is just, you know, sit on the couch and dream about life. When my AA sponsor, yeah, that's it. I pass, and thanks, Russ. Great meeting.
Thanks, I appreciate you. All right, next up is Anita J. She's going to be our final share of the day.
I'm the final one, Russ. Okay. Thank you. Thanks for your service and everything you've done all these years I've known you. But I'm Anita J., trying to live in the recovery. I tell you, folks, this was serendipitous, fortuitous, because ever since I had pneumonia in February, the sugar reared its ugly head again, and it's taken all I can do. And this was a reminder that I can't do it. I need God's help. I need all of you. But I should live my life. And I was asked, well, a dear friend who's younger than me, at least 10 years, but she now is in the memory care unit here in this town. today's her birthday, and her husband called me and said she wants me and one other lady to go in the car with them, and we should all have ice cream. Well, of course, I was going to say yes, but then, you know, I haven't been to this Yuleman's ice cream thing since my grandkids were like 5 and 7. Now they're in their 20s. But I'm going. I went online. They even sell water. You know that? Who would have known that? So they've got, I'm definitely going to go. I'm going to make this woman have a happy birthday. Not make her, but be part of it. You know, and in August is my, I ought to tell you right now, I don't look it. That's what the chef here told me. I'm going to turn 90. Oh, my God in heaven. And I'm going to have a bash here, a luncheon. And I've already talked to the chef. And, it'll be wonderful. It'll be wonderful. And there'll be maybe, if they all come, 10 or 12 OA people, too. So it's, I'm just a happy, grateful lady. And that's all. I'm grateful for all of you. And that's all. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Anita. Appreciate it. Anita's going to be our day of share, like I said. And please join us for second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. And thank you to everybody shared, everybody did service. Now, today's share ID, Friday, June 6, 2025, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 22,502. That's 22502. And Elena C. is now going to read our closing from the big book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then. And
good morning. Good morning. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do for each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in this fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.